Welcome to the Storefront Church radio program. I'm Brother Freddie Wilbanks, and thank you for walking through our door, finding us on your radio dial or this radio station's internet connection, or our webpage, thestorefrontchurch.com. Today's program is 1807, and the initial air date for this program is for Sunday, February 18th, 2018. Thank you for praying for this ministry and tuning in each week. There's plenty of room for everyone at the Storefront Church. If you like, you can stand or sit right there. Some like to stand during the music and worship. Now that you're here, we want you to worship the Lord Jesus Christ with us. Sponsoring this program is Pilgrim Evangelistic Ministries, proclaiming the life-changing good news about the sinless life, the death on the cross, and the resurrection from the grave of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through whom by faith we have eternal life. This broadcast is made possible by the financial support of listeners. If you'd like to sponsor the Storefront Church radio program, call area code 989-871-9668. Help us to reach the world with the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ by calling area code 989-871-968. Call with your pledge of support, number 989-871-9668. Homes by Stoddard's and Stoddard's Classic Cars in Chesning, Michigan sponsors this program. We want to thank the volunteers in today's Evangel Band. Already over there pulling on the cat's tail is Brother David Thompson. Getting ready to join us vocally in a few moments is Brother Walter Kinsey. Playing that big old grand piano this hour is Sister Norita Henley. And thumping on that doghouse bass is Brother Randy Stoddard. Agree with us in prayer for a Jesus Christ Holy Ghost revival in this nation. A nation that needs to repent of its multitude of sins against the Lord God Almighty. Pray for repentance among our fellow citizens, bureaucrats, corrupt government officials, and the invaders. Agree with us in prayer for our missionaries, veterans, and fellow Christians, many of whom have been killed and wounded because of God's word, profession of faith in Jesus Christ, righteousness, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. But for now, put your Bible down on one of those homemade pews, stand or have a seat, and let's worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Building up the temple, building up the temple, building up the temple of the Lord. Saying, brother, won't you help me? Sister, won't you help me? Building up the temple of the Lord. Building up the temple, building up the temple, building up the temple of the Lord. Saying, brother, won't you help me? Sister, won't you help me? Building up the temple of the Lord. Building up the temple, building up the temple, building up the temple of the Lord. Saying, brother, won't you help me? Sister, won't you help me? Building up the temple of the Lord. All right. Join with us in building up the temple. Because if you're doing the work of God, He'll keep you singing. Turn with us to hymn number 453. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, sweetest name I know. was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, sweetest name I know. Singing as I go, feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath the sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face. But that's why I shout and sing. Jesus, sweetest name I know. Singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky. I shall swing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with Him on high.
Jesus,
sweetest name I know. Singing as I go. Yes, it's Jesus. Oh, sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Keeps me singing as I go. Talked with the Lord and told Him your heart's hidden secrets. How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? Since your mind felt at ease, how long since your heart knew no burden? cinching out by your bed and pray to the Lord up in heaven. How long since you knew that he'd answer you and would keep you to him with all your care, weary and worn and sad. You too will sing as his love you share. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come in my cups. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, across my chest and sing for me a pretty song.
Jesus He is all I need. Jesus is all I need. Yes, He is all I need. He is all I need. Jesus is all I need. He is all I need. He is all I need. Jesus is all I need.
Yes, Lord, you are all we need, indeed. Just all we got to do is put our faith in you, Lord, and you're in control. You're all we need. And Lord, now as we do come to you right now, at this moment, this point of time, Lord, we have so many things on our minds and our hearts. Sometimes it just overwhelms just to think about all that's going on around us. But Lord, once again, you're all we need. If we would just remember that, Lord, you're there with us, Lord. So many times, Lord, we pray, Lord, be with us as we do this or that. But Lord, you are with us. We just need to be reminded that you are with us and you are all that we need. And Lord, as we do look around us, Lord, we do pray for all that we see going on, Lord, around the world, in our nation, in our communities. Lord, we have these leaders that we've elected, Lord. And first of all, Lord, I just pray that you would intervene and interact, Lord, in what goes on in their hearts and their minds in our behalf. Help us, Lord, to understand that we do need to give them our support, because you said, Lord, to render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, then unto God what belongs to God. Lord, we just thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that he went to the cross, he died for us, Lord, so that we can obtain grace, forgiveness. And we do say, Lord, please forgive us for where we've come short in you. And we just thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Well, Sister Narita Henley, do you folks have a special for us this hour?
Yes. Walter's going to sing, Now I Belong to Jesus.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to me, not for the comforts my soul. For Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood he gave to redeem. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. I'd like to explain for just a minute, I guess, why this song means so much to me. And I don't know if I'm going to get it through without crying either, Randy. I first remember this song being sung by a former pastor of ours, Reverend Alan Ruth Ransom, sang this song. And anyway, the Ransoms came to our church just as a time that I probably needed a pastor. My father had just passed away. We just had his funeral, and he was the pastor at that time. But I was a young teenager and needed a lot of questions answered, and he come and counseled me and answered so many questions. And I really appreciate him, and this is the song that I remember him and his wife singing for the very first time. I probably heard it before that, but I don't remember it, but I remember them singing it. And anyway, pastors mean so much to us.
Yes, they do. Praise God. We thank God for the pastors who have taken up the work of the Lord and been a blessing to so many. And you talk about hearing something for the first time. Sometimes we hear things, and then sometimes we hear things. That sounds like foolishness, I know, but it's true. There's many things in my life, it's like background noise or what have you. But sometimes when we're in desperate need, emotionally, spiritually, whatever the need may be, something could be going and have been said, and the Holy Spirit quickens it to our spirits. And so in a way, we truly have heard it for the first time, and possibly that's what happened to you, brother. Maybe you'd heard that song before, but in the time when you needed God's love, you heard this, and God used this man of God, this minister, this hymn of the church to touch and bless you. Praise the name of the Lord. This is message 1807, and for Sunday, February 18th, 2018, and it's entitled The First Mention of Prayer. The First Mention of Prayer. Turn with us to Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. And we'll be going to another portion of Scripture here in a moment. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, if you would, please pick up your Bibles. Hopefully you didn't set them back down in a hurry, but turn to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will as my will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto them, Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, I accept, I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. The first mention of prayer. There may be some who would quibble with me about this portion of Scripture in Genesis chapter 4, 25 and 26, being the place where the Scripture recognized this as prayer because it doesn't use the word prayer. It says, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. You see, some things have been going bad. God had created a perfect world, put man in the perfect world. Man was a free moral agent. He could choose to do what God directed him to do, or he could choose to do whatever he wanted to do, which is sin. And so man, most of you know, chose sin and was pushed out of the perfect place in the earth, the Garden of Eden, and many things happened. The curse came upon the earth because of the sin of man. And man and his wife knew each other and were intimate, and they gave birth to children. And one of these men, one of these sons born, rose up and slew his brother. I can relate to that because my grandfather's brother rose up in anger against him and killed him. I've been told the story several times, and this happened when my father was a 9-month-old baby. But nevertheless, this brother slew a brother, and so in a perfect world, sin is coming in and closing in rapidly. And Adam and others of his children and son could see this perfect world deteriorating from the glistening jewel that it was to a world that was under the curse. It's dying. The world now is dying. It's suffering the effects of sin. And in their lifetime, and some have a hard time believing this, but if you really know God and you understand that nothing is impossible with God, these people, some of them lived almost 1,000 years. Oh my goodness, nobody could live 1,000 years. Yes, the word says it, I believe it, it happened. It will be proven again and again in the days ahead that man lived this long period of time. And so in 1,000 years, you see a lot of change. I've been blessed to walk on this globe for over 6 decades now. And it troubles my spirit to see the effect of sin on this world, the effects of sin, and the change, the things that that have happened, and how messed up things are compared to what they were even just a decade ago. Not even thinking about going back 5 decades. And so these people lived 1,000 years and they see the earth dying. They have a broader perspective than what we have. You know, most of us, almost all of us, and especially the young people today are no different. Their view of history is what they've lived. That's all they know about history for most of them. We don't teach them history anymore. We don't teach them God's word. And so all that they have to look at is their history. And for some of our young people, that's only 8 years, 16 years, 26 years, whatever it may be, that's their grasp of history. And those of us who've been here a few decades realize and can see the effect of sin and how our society has degenerated into a terrible mess. And what we see as terrible sins and the result of sin, these people look at it as what's normal. And so these people that are walking on the face of the earth for hundreds of years see the earth things changing and the wickedness and murders and adulteries and all types of things, and they sense and they are compelled to call upon the name of the Lord, which is to say they prayed. They prayed. They saw the need. See, God talked verbally and audibly with Adam. He walked with Adam in the cool of the day. He visited with him. And because of sin, it separates. Sin separates us from God. And even though God is reaching out to us all the day long, our sins separate us from God. And the sins of the world separated God from mankind. And it became necessary for us, and in Enos's time and in the time of Seth, especially, they saw the need where they needed to extend their hands out and lift their voices and cry out and call out to God. So it was in that time that man began to call upon the name of the Lord. Going through history a couple of thousand years, about 3,500 years as a matter of fact, we come to this portion of scripture in Matthew where it says, a place called Gethsemane, a place of prayer. We've talked in weeks past about places of idolatrous worship. There were places where they had Ashtoreth poles, or what we might call today, if you really wanted to think about it, it was nothing more than what was called a gentleman's strip club. And they worshiped sexual sin and immorality and the demons. And there is a place of prayer. Each one of us desperately needs to find that place of prayer, that place where we can call out to God. Because I guarantee you that as sure as there is life and death, there is a time in your life when you need to call out to the Lord God. Sin, circumstances, the cares of life, something has separated you, and now you're in a valley or a place where you need God, and you need that place of prayer. Maybe that place of prayer is just as simple as closing your eyes. Maybe that place of prayer is in your living room, kneeling down by your couch. Maybe it's kneeling down by your bedside. Maybe it's really just going into a clothes closet, a tiny clothes closet, and closing the closet door before you. Maybe it's the altar in some church. Maybe it's a homemade altar in a storefront church. Nothing more than a little 18-inch high wooden bench made out of barn wood. In this particular time, Jesus went into this garden, this place called Gethsemane. And he's feeling like we think that at times that we feel the weight of the world on our shoulders, and we sometimes allow the enemy to burden us down and place the weight of the world on our shoulders. But Jesus, in this place, is dealing with the real weight of the world. He's dealing with the fact that he knows what faces him, and the sins of the world are being laid upon him. And the flesh, he is a man. Even though he is the Son of God, even though he is God-man, he is a man. And the scripture tells us that he suffered all manner like we do. The things, the hurts, the pains, the joys. Last week we talked about the laughter of Christ a little bit. All these emotions, everything that God created, God felt. And Christ Jesus, being the Son of God and thereby God, felt the sins of the world. And so he's in this garden and he's praying. He took with him some friends. You know, it's advisable to pray with friends. Many of us men like to be macho men and we can handle everything on our own. But in reality, Jesus shows us by his example that we need friends to pray with us. And even though we might be in right relationship with God in a place in our life and we're praying and we need to pray with our friends, Sometimes our friends are like the friends of Jesus here. They're really not very much help. Matter of fact, Jesus' friends here at this particular time seem to be no help at all. But we still need friends. You know, sometimes I share with people that, and we travel a lot, and sometimes we are not always in our home church like some folks are, and which is a good thing to be. But I've shared with people that we go to church for various reasons. One reason is so that we can receive from the Lord what He has prepared for us. But more often than not, something that we never think about is we need to go to a place of worship. We need to be in prayer, not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of our friends. We sometimes negate, we fail to recognize the need of our presence in a certain place. You know, I was in a place a week ago, and various things went through me emotionally and spiritually, and I questioned myself, God, what kind of a blessing am I here? Really, Lord God, yeah, I haven't accomplished many things, anything. I haven't accomplished really anything for your honor and glory. I haven't done anything to lead anyone to the saving knowledge of Christ. But thankfully, my perspective is not the best perspective. God's perspective is the best perspective. And sometimes being obedient and just living for Christ where we are doesn't seem like a very big deal. Sometimes we get disappointed. Sometimes the enemy, we allow the enemy to bring doubt and fears and all kinds of baggage onto us, when being obedient sometimes is all God is asking of us, because we don't know. God, thankfully, doesn't allow us to see what other people see. And we will never know the complete measure of our testimony until God reveals it to us in eternity.
Right. That's right.
So Jesus is praying with his friends, and they're not very much help. And he shares with his friends, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Praying can be emotional.
Yes,
you know, a picture of prayer is kind of like sometimes most of us have, many of us have, is that wonderful Norman, I can't even think of the gentleman's name, I want to say Roxwell, but that's not even right, but you know where I'm coming from. That picture of serenity around the Thanksgiving table and everybody quietly holding and folding their hands and praying. But sometimes prayer is more than that. Most often, if you really get into prayer and the Lord is leading us in this direction, you find that prayer can be many things. It's very emotional. It can be very, very emotional.
Yes.
Matter of fact, one thing prayer is warfare. And I encourage you to take up the armaments of God and take on this offensive weapon of God to combat the enemy of our souls and the enemy of our loved ones' souls and the enemy of our salvation. Jesus was praying against the powers of darkness, that you and I might be freed from the powers of darkness and the sin curse of the world, and have salvation through his eternal sacrifice, through his redemption sacrifice there at the cross, which was about to happen after this prayer. That's another thing. Just for a moment, just think of this. If it be your will, and we'll touch on this maybe more in a moment, let this cup pass from me. He knew the cup wasn't going to pass. He knew what lay ahead, and yet he prayed anyways. Even if you think you know what the results are, and you think that the results aren't going to be in your favor, and you think you're not going to get what you think is right, pray anyways.
follow the example of Jesus Christ. Let's look at something else here this hour as we look at prayer, body positions in prayer. What is the best place of prayer like that Norman Rockwell painting, sitting around the kitchen table? That's a good place to pray. I remember one of my fondest memories is of my father leading our family in prayer around the kitchen table. One of my fondest memories is praying with my wife and children around the kitchen table. Another fond memory is being in one of my children's home, or all actually it's happened in all of our children's homes. We have three children living, and we've been blessed to be at the table and be praying with them around the table. What a blessing. That's a wonderful place of prayer. But another thing, as we said before, you can pray by the bedside. You can pray in the closet. You can pray in the field. You can be going down the road, paying attention to your driving, but still be in a spirit of prayer, an attitude of prayer. You can be in any place, walking along the road, a pathway, anything. But don't discount like some of our brothers and sisters in Christ do, have looked down their nose at those who are in agony and burden, just like Jesus was, and in grief and in distress, throw themselves down on the ground, on the floor. You know, some of you attend churches, and I thank God that you attend churches, but you attend churches where that if someone was to go up front and before the altar and throw themselves down before the altar on the floor there and cry out to God, call out to God, some of you would be terrified. You would be terrified because this is not something that you see. Some of you, if you went into a place of worship and let's say that there was 50, 100 people praying all at the same time, you would be terrified. My God is greater than the box that you want to put him in. He's bigger than the box that you want to put him in. And I'm here to assure you that if there's 50 people praying at once, God hears every prayer. If there's 5,000 people praying at once, God hears every prayer. See, many of you have not got into your spirit yet, and most of us don't have in our spirit fully, that for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And so listening to 5,000 or 5 million or 5 billion people praying at the same time is no big deal to God. But yet some of you, if you walked into a church, you were sitting in a church where 50 people started praying about all manner of things, all different kinds of topics, that would trouble you. You need to come to grips with that. Because if you are blessed to spend eternity with Christ Jesus, there's going to be untold millions and billions of people praying. And see, prayer doesn't go away. And praising, praise doesn't go away. Praying and praising the Lord God and Jesus Christ, what they have done for us, redeeming us from our own foolishness and our own sins. So let me encourage you to find the positions of prayer and find a position where you can draw closer to God than what might be the case if you were sitting at the Thanksgiving table with a family of Norman Rockwell. Topics of prayer. Jesus was praying about the sacrifice for the salvation of people. Jesus was praying for the world. He was praying for you and me, who he didn't even really hadn't met yet physically, because we weren't even a twinkle in our own Father's eye. What topics do we pray about? We can pray about anything. But I want to encourage you in the days ahead, in the weeks ahead, to take something to heart. I think the Lord's going to remind me of this. We need to pray less for ourselves and for what God wants us to pray for. See, Jesus got to that place where he was saying, "Not my will, but thy will be done." I don't want to drink this cup. I don't want to take this cup, but
let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. We need to get in our lives, in that place in our lives where we're not just praying for our own immediate relief. We need to be praying for the relief, for the salvation of the world, for the salvation of the lost. And when I say the world, I'm talking about individual souls that make up the world. I challenge you to find something to pray about that is of no immediate benefit to you. The Lord has laid on my heart in the past few months to pray for the Christians who are incarcerated and persecuted in North Korea. You see, the Lord has allowed me to see something. He's allowed me to see that if these people will yield to the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost empower them, they, by the word of their testimony and the prayer and praise of their lips, can overthrow one of the world's most craziest dictators, Kim Jong-un, or however you ever properly pronounce his name. God has showed me that through prayer and through praise and through the power of the Holy Ghost, this madman who's terrorizing his neighbors, he can be moved out of the way, and the spirits of darkness behind him can be moved out of the way. And people that are oppressed beyond measure, we can't even relate to what the suffering that they've gone through, they can be set free, and they can be fed, and they can receive fresh drink. Oh, let's find something. Maybe for you it's not the people in North Korea. Maybe for you it's for someone else, someone halfway around the world that maybe you'll never meet or see. But I challenge you to take your eyes and your spiritual eyes off of being consumed with yourself and to pray for something or something that is God's will. And it is not God's will that those persecuted Christians in North Korea be treated as such. The length of prayer. Couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Oh, Jesus was sharing with them that he knew that their spirit was willing, but he also knew their flesh was weak. And we need to become strong in the spirit that we might overcome the flesh. It looks here to me that Jesus prayed for an hour and his friends fell asleep. And then he went back and prayed a second time. And I can somewhat think that that was another hour. How many times do we pray about something? I'm not talking about just vain repetition, but I'm talking about how many times do we pray for something and lift it up to God? And then the scripture tells us he went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. He prayed the same prayer. Hallelujah. There are people, there are Christians, there are saints of God who have been praying a lifetime for something and they never saw it. Once again, I'm reminded of that story of that missionary who came home on a ship the same time that President Theodore Roosevelt came home. And the missionary was upset or troubled or saddened because he'd worked his whole life on the missionary field. And here this president who'd gone to Africa game hunting, come home in the big band, and everybody's giving him this royal welcome. And the missionary was dejected. You know, I don't know all the particulars of the story. I don't know if anyone accepted the gospel under his preaching, under his sacrifice of service to the Lord. But I know this much of the story, that the angel of the Lord spoke to that missionary and told him, you aren't home yet. The first mention of prayer. When was the time you first called on the Lord in prayer? When was your first mention of prayer? And in your daily walk, when is your first mention of prayer? Is it early in the morning? Is it in the noontime? Is it in the evening before you go to bed? I encourage you to begin to look at your need, and I encourage us all to begin to look at our need, that we all need to maintain an attitude of prayer, no matter situation or circumstance, and that our first mention of prayer is not something recorded long ago, but that we are in continual prayer before the living God, the Lord God Almighty. Receive Jesus Christ as Lord today as your Lord and Savior, and pray.